This is the Runners Up Club, a podcast about unsung heroes, lovable losers, and forgotten failures. For those with a few minutes to spend on those who spent theirs in a losing cause.
Well, it all starts back on Beiju, aka Infant Island, an atomic test site in the South Pacific, where a team of scientists arrived to study the curiously radiation-free natives, including the pair of cute, foot-high twin girls, whose sweet singing is really a cry for help to their larval insect deity, as they are abducted by the shameless capitalist Clark Nelson, who aims to pimp them out as a sideshow act, and... well, you know how these things go. One thing leads to another, and before you know it, that insect deity, after swimming to Japan in caterpillar form, spins a cocoon in Tokyo Tower, hatches into adult form as Mothra, lays waste to the city, retrieves the girls, returns to Infant Island, and goes on to star in about 20 more films, some with approximately the same plotline, many with other monsters, but none with Clark Nelson, who was shot by the police. Thank God that guy was a jerk.
I don't like that, Mr. Nelson.
I think all of us agree on that.
Hey everybody, I'm Ray Agostinelli. Welcome to the Runners Up Club, a place where we give our attention to the 80-pound chimps who lived in the shadow in one way or another of the 800-pound gorillas. And today's 800-pound gorilla actually resembled one. Well, King Kong would be the closer analog, but we're not just talking about movie monsters today. We're here to talk about the particular subcategory of Japanese strange beasts, also known as kaiju. It's a pantheon headed by a creature you know and love to hate, and sometimes hate to love, named
Godzilla!
Godzilla bested many rivals in his day, so there are several runners-up candidates from which to choose. Gamera, King Ghidorah, Biollante, Megalon, but one stands out from the pack, the best of the rest, and that's Mothra. It's an obvious choice, for me, for many reasons, which we'll get into presently. First, a bit about Godzilla. The first Godzilla movie premiered in Japan in 1954, produced by the Toho Studio, directed by Ishiro Honda, who was the guiding force behind many of those first-generation kaiju. That was followed by Godzilla Raids Again, sophomore slump, in 1955. A new monster, Rodan, was introduced in 56. A demon monster called Varan in 58 followed. Mothra is the next headliner in 1961. Across the series of Toho kaiju movies, and later within the American Monsterverse, which was basically a merger of kaiju plus Kong, she appears in somewhere around 20 movies. She's a title headliner 7 times, and is the sole star in the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy in the 90s, which was basically a reconception of her whole origin story with some modern twists, an update of her appearance, of course, and the insertion of a bad guy monster for her to battle. To my mind, the original origin was vastly superior. Here's a little taste for you, a sequence of clips from the 64 original, cross-cutting the tiny fairy princesses who have been abducted by Clark Nelson, singing their song inside of a cage before a paying audience, cross-cut with the natives from Infant Island summoning their deity.
Mothra, she'll rescue us and return us to our island.
Mothra, thou art life eternal. Answer the prayer of thy servants. Come to us again out of the legend. Mothra, protect us with thy power of life.
Those were Mothra's very first shrieks there. Great to hear. Now, monster movies are never just about the monster, of course. Let's talk about what these creatures represent. Godzilla was seen primarily as a commentary on nuclear weapons. He's the result of radiation, externalizing deep-seated cultural fears in Japan, with Hiroshima and Nagasaki still very much within living memory. Godzilla represents nature, capital N, striking back at mankind, lowercase m, for our hubris in creating the original weapons of mass destruction. When Godzilla runs rampant, humans cower in fear. For anyone other than misanthropes and apocalyptarians, the creature Godzilla in the early days was not really one to root for. To pity? Yes, a little, but we want the Japanese army to kill him. And when he falls, we cheer. Mothra is something entirely different. Let's count the ways. Most obviously, she's female. There are actually some male Mothrae in the bloodline, like her son Leo from the reboot series, but those are the exceptions. Most importantly, Mothra is a force for good. In her debut, she wreaks havoc on Tokyo only to retrieve those tiny fairy princesses who sing her song. If Clark Nelson hadn't kidnapped them, the folks of Infant Island would have been just fine. Mothra is a righteous rescuer, not a wanton destroyer driven by vengeful rage like many of the other kaiju. Where we were always meant to spare some pity for Godzilla, with Mothra we actively root her on. Let the towers fall, it's completely acceptable and amazingly cinematic. Collateral damage and the fault lies entirely with the bad guys. You go, girl! When she does appear in movies with other kaiju, she typically battles against them or tries to assuage them on our behalf. She's a protector of humans, be it a tribe, in that original, or as her filmography grew, a protector of a country or even the world. Word was that Toho had a general rule that kaiju shouldn't be shown to intentionally kill humans. That was particularly true of Mothra. Here's another unique quality around Mothra. She has a voice. Well, yes, but more importantly, she's able to communicate with humans by communing with the priestesses who serve her. Here are those women explaining how they do it.
You understand what people say?
It's hard to explain just how it works, but we understand.
Actually, only thoughts have a meaning to us. Thoughts and ideas. And we can make you understand our thoughts.
Telepathy, is that it?
Telepathy. Yep, thought so. Mothra appears in multiple forms, egg, larva, and the fully mature winged form called the imago. Those stages are unique. Godzilla and the others just are what they are. If they evolve, it's from big to bigger. We see Mothra hatch from egg form. She moves around and sometimes does damage in her larval form. When she bursts out as an imago, she reaches her full glory. And those stages give Mothra's existence, from movie to movie, a realistic cyclicity. The requirements of the franchise dictate that these monsters are basically immortal. They never really go away entirely. We need the sequel to the sequel to the sequel. The other monsters need some sort of pasted-on rationale to justify their various returns. Godzilla is basically impervious to destruction and he just always regenerates. Mothra instead lays eggs, and she returns through those rebirths, reincarnated in spirit in new creatures that are sometimes her and sometimes her children. The pattern is established in her second movie, Mothra vs. Godzilla, where Mothra herself is actually killed. But before she dies, she ends up cradling her egg, which is a major plot driver throughout the film, and nurses it, birthing two larvae. The twin baby Mothrae weave a silk web around Godzilla, and he sinks to the ocean floor at the end of the movie. Okay, here's the word nerd tangent for today. The word imago is also used in psychology, completely outside its use in entomology, to refer to an idealized image of someone who's formative in a person's life, like a parent. So we get this cool, potentially very deep, but probably not, connection via the concept of the imago between moth and mother, Mothra as the idealized mommy. Now, I can sense some of you thinking, give me a break. We are talking about monster movies, so get off your psychoanalytic high horse. To which I say, while it's true that sometimes a moth is just a moth, when she's 180 meters tall with a wingspan of 250 meters, weighs 20,000 tons, and she's here to protect you, she's more than just a moth. Okay? Finally, in terms of Mothra's differentiators, is her beauty. Yes, in movie after movie, she has vibrant colors, big eyes. She's not just the monster we love to love, she's the one we love to look at. I hope I've made the case for any doubters out there that Mothra is the clear, most worthy runner-up to Godzilla as the king of the kaiju. She is the queen, no doubt about that. Regular listeners may know that some runners-up in our club may have had a chance to be number one. Well, that's not true of Mothra. It would be specious to argue that she somehow had a chance to displace Godzilla, or that she somehow didn't get a fair shake. Godzilla did create the category, after all. What's more, Godzilla looms large not just in monster movies, but across the cultural landscape. He was featured most recently in the movie Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, from this year, most headbangingly in the 1977 Blue Oyster Cult song Godzilla, and most dweebishly in the names of the open source browser and development tools Mozilla, Bugzilla, and Jira. That last one, Jira, comes from the Japanese name for Godzilla, Gojira. Mothra has appeared in lots of kaiju pieces, not just movies, but TV shows, video games, and books, but she's not had top billing in a film since Rebirth of Mothra 3 in 1998. Quite a few bands, bless their souls, have cut songs called Mothra over the years, but none with the stature, if that's the right word, of Blue Oyster Cult. I listen to them all, so you don't have to. Personally, I'm partial to the version by Wednesday Campanella off the 2014 album Cinema Jack. Although Godflesh's 1992 version is more consistent with the industrial metal vibe of BOC. How did I get here? Oh yes, I was talking about the presence of our rival monsters in the public imagination, because in cultural matters, that's where runner-up status is largely conferred. It's not a fair or objective thing. And let's face it, Godzilla is a reptilian guy monster whose main weapon is atomic fire. Mothra is a lepidopteran girl monster who bites her adversaries on the tail. Fanboys outnumber fangirls. Testosterone drives box office gross. It is what it is. There was apparently a Monsterverse Mothra movie in the works for a release this year, but it seems to have been scrapped. 2024 was apparently just not the year for female headliners. It's a shame. Mothra deserves it, and we want it. She's different. She's not like the other guys. Here's hoping we don't have to wait till, I don't know, 2028 for Warner Brothers to reconsider. That's it for today. I'm Ray Agostinelli. Thanks for joining. See you next time on the Runners Up Club.
This podcast is created, written, and performed by Ray Agostinelli and produced by, with original music by, Bad Hat Media. Find more at runnersupclub.com. Until next time, keep running.
What's wrong?